Star Splitter.
Hey guys, Danny Keene here. Thank you for checking out my Star Splitter podcast, a collection of science fiction short stories. Please check out our Patreon page to support us on our journey. The season finale involves terrifying monsters and the darkness we all face. Strap in. This one's a ride. Hush World, Part 2. I shake my head angrily. Sparks turns to the right and leads the way down the long hallway. Her arm light plays strange shadows along the floor and ceiling. As she walks, she studies the findings from her device. There are no sounds other than the clomp of our boots and our breathing. I study the ceiling with my light. Large light bulbs dot the hall. But all of them look smashed. Another strange thing to add to the list. Why would someone want it dark in here? The longer I stare at the ceiling, the more I realize how much metric tons of rock and ocean hang above me, supported by a knife's edge. And I feel sick. I swallow back bile. Sparks gasps, and I jerk. We round a bend in the corridor and stumble to a stop in front of 7 large elevators. They're large enough to carry tons and tons of ore to the surface. I whistle, and the sound echoes, cutting the dark. I immediately regret my decision and cringe. Disturbing the silence seems wrong, dangerous even, like I'm going to wake some sleeping creature. Now, those are elevators, Spark says. Her awe wafts to me like a sweet aroma. I glance over my shoulder. Yeah, bloody beautiful. Do you sense any danger? No, I say and clench my jaw. Then get off your high horse, Brian Kent. She looks across the dark toward me. Like a parent, she uses my full name to make her point. I know this place is downright creepy, but you need to relax. I am relaxed. Right. Her amusement and irritation brings a smile to my face. I step past her and lead the way, studying each large opening. The keypads glow a faint yellow. So there is power down here. Why do you do this? Sparks asks. Do what? I say, and glance at her. Work on exploratory missions? It's not the safest job. My dad and I need the money, I say. This job is the only reason I can afford Dad's treatments. He is the only family I have left. Sparks raises an eyebrow. Treatments? Cancer, I say. She nods. Of course, cancer is curable nowadays. It just takes a lot of money to get there, and time. How about you? I say. What brought you here? I used to be a party girl in the metro. Made a lot of... Sparks trails off, sighs and shrugs. Trying to find something. More, I guess. Guilt bubbles out of Sparks like acid, and I cannot help but feel sympathy. A question waits between my lips. I falter, feeling like I'm going too far. Sparks has never been this forthcoming before. My light scans the rocky ceiling. What's your first name? No one uses it. A strange look streaked across her features. Don't get any ideas, Kent, she says. Then she smirks and walks on. Despite her tone, more amusement comes. I bite my lip. We go beyond the elevators and pass large vehicles designed to carry ore. All is still. Death seems to wait in the dark. I swallow hard and try to slow my pounding heart with deep breaths. I catch the faint shape of a skeleton in one of the machine's broken windows. Sparks sees it too, but does not comment.
Hey, Sparks. It's Ibarra.
Sparks raises her device. Go ahead.
We had a little trouble. Yen took a misstep and fell.
Is she...
She's alive, but cut up pretty bad and has multiple puncture wounds. I'll live.
Yen's voice breaks in.
I'm tougher than I look. Ignore her, Captain.
Ibarra says.
She's acting okay, but I won't know if she sustained internal trauma until I return to the ship. Permission to use one scout and take her to Reacher?
Sparks pinches the bridge of her nose and sighs. Yen, can you walk?
Yes.
Sparks nods. All right then, Ibarra. Permission granted. I hear Yen swearing on the other side of the radio. Levy, Sparks says. You escort them to the stairs and then come in our direction. You shouldn't explore by yourself.
Roger that,
Levy says.
Coming your way. We'll stay in touch.
Slowly, we continue along the walkway. The corridor goes on, and the further we go, the higher the ceiling seems to get until I can't see it anymore with the limited reach of my light. The walls of the passage cut away until we're walking in a pool of black with no frame of reference. Finally, I stop. This is huge, I say. We should go back. It'll take days or weeks to explore this thing. We don't have to. I'm getting massive readings of trillium in the rocks all around us. The Union will do the rest. We've done what we've come for. Let's go meet Levy and get out of here. My stomach suddenly balls up and I bend over. Good grief! Who was feeling this level of hunger? You okay, Kent? Yeah, I'm fine, I say, and straighten again. I just need to keep it together until we get off this planet. Just another hour, and we'd be heading back to Reacher, and then home. A body lies in the shadows at the very edge of my light. My body stiffens, and I gesture to Sparks. We walk toward it, my heartbeat throbbing in my ears. I lick my suddenly dry lips. Hello, I say. The prone figure doesn't respond. When I reach the body, I realize it must be ancient. Cracked bones, dry skin, and muscle flash in my light. Some dusty clothes lay in the dirt beside them. The skull's mouth is open, an internal scream. That's when I see the trillium chain beside the neck bones. My mouth grows dry. Lance's necklace. But it couldn't be him. I use my arm device to scan the remains. The DNA scan reads positive. They match the scans I took earlier. This is Lance, or at least what's left of him. It's Lance, I say. No way. This body's been here for a long time. Look how dry it is. I shake my head and show her the DNA results. In the dim light, I see her eyes widen. If this is Lance, then what made him become like this? I hesitate, trying to piece together Lance's strange behavior. I don't know. I tap my device and check the time. My stomach clenches and I clear my throat. Levy hasn't checked in yet. It's been nearly 20 minutes since his last check-in. He should be with us by now. I quickly broaden the frequency. Levy? You there? The rush of white noise fills my ears. Levy, do you read me? We found Lance. I glance at the remains and taste more bile. I swallow hard. He's dead. We're heading back to the stairs. Over? More white noise. Cold, clammy fear feels down my stomach, and I let Sparks take a turn. She calls Levy's name, but he doesn't answer. We turn and hurry back. Our boots crunch on the loose dirt. My mind whirls with possibilities. None of them good. Especially with a freshly dead body down here. I play my light around us and spot the corridor walls narrowing again. And soon, we're walking in the large hallway like before. I see the massive elevators in the distance and know we're getting close. My arm light strafes the ground at my feet. And I stop. Sparks? She turns, and I hear her panting. What? There's a third set of footprints. Sparks aims her light and studies the ground. What do you mean? The beam reveals our footprints heading toward the large room we'd just left. Huge, clawed feet trail alongside our prints. By the looks of it, the thing stands on all fours. I scan the rest of the surrounding ground. And whatever it is, it had brought a friend. The second pair of prints follow the first. We're not alone down here. Sparks swears under her breath. Levy, come in. Levy, please respond. We have a situation. I yank my weapon out of its holster and click it on. The gun hums to life. I aim in the general direction of the sound. A massive ore vehicle hulks in the dark. Let's go, Sparks says, and we run. The longer we move, the more hunger I feel. But not only that, I sense that we're being followed. I look back, but I see nothing. Yet something is there. I can feel it. We rush by the elevators and round the bend. We skid to a stop. Levy is walking toward us, wearing no shirt, and his comm and arm device are gone. What the? Sparks begins. Where have you been? I snap. He's rubbing the back of his neck. Sorry, guys. I don't know what happened. Yeah, right. Where have you been? Sparks snaps. I glance over my shoulder. We need to go now. Levy gapes and blinks like a lost fish. All I remember is leaving Abara and Yin at the stairs and coming in your direction. And? I don't remember. Can we leave now, please? I glance over my shoulder. The menacing presence grows stronger with every second. Okay, Sparks shouts and gestures to me. You'll need to check him out once we're out of here. Can you help me find my stuff? Levy glances vaguely back into the darkness behind him. No! Something is down here! Lance is dead! We need to leave now! I say. But I need my stuff. Levy shakes his head as if to clear it. Beads of sweat glisten and streak down his face. It looks like you might have a fever. Let me help you up to the stairs, then I can check you out, I say, and reach for him. No! I need my stuff! He glares furtively at Sparks and me. I need... Sparks reaches toward him. It's okay, man. You need medical attention. We'll go back upstairs and figure this out. Her fingers brush his muscular arm. He yanks away. Don't touch me! I glance back over my shoulder and look at Levy again. We can't stay here. We need to leave now. Shut up, Kent! Sparks touches Levy again. Please, come with... No! Leave me alone! Levy whirls and sprints back from where he came. Levy! Sparks races after him. At first, I watch them hurry away from me. I am torn. This is all so stupid, considering what's down here. I catch myself turning to the stairs, and then close my eyes in defeat. I can't leave Sparks and Levy alone. Levy! We have to go! Stop! I shout and sprint. In moments, I reach Sparks' side, and we hurry on. In the distance, I see Levy's glistening back, and for the first time, I notice a deep puncture wound at the base of Levy's neck. A little blood is seeping out, but it looks deep, In fact, his back looks a little. Levy turns a corner and disappears.
No!
We hurry and follow him. And for a few minutes, we barely keep him in view. A blur of movement here, a scuffle of feet there. I set my arm device to map out the mine as we go. I hope it'll help us find our way back. My intuition, empathic abilities, and brain scream at me to turn back. But I can't leave my crewmates.
Wait! Sparks gasps. Stop! I can't go any further.
I slow and glance at the passage I had last seen Levy go.
We can't leave him behind. I agree. Go on without me.
I shake my head between gasps.
No, we stay together. We can't afford to be alone. He's getting away,
Sparks says in a flat tone, gasping for air. I know he's getting away, I snap.
Then do something about it.
I hold up my finger.
Shh! Don't shush me, Sparks says. Shh!
I say again. And then she seems to hear Levy's voice. From the sound, he must be close. Remarkably close. I gesture to Sparks and we creep to the next opening. I shine my light inside. A figure stands in the dark, nose nearly touching the far stone wall.
Levy? I ask. Buddy? Rivulets of sweat streak along Levy's spine. He's panting and gasping, leaning against the stone.
I just want to be alone, Levy says to the black wall.
He jerks as if in pain, but then relaxes.
A sigh escapes his lips. The two muscles along his spine seem strangely inflamed. Something is so very wrong. Dozens of emotions explode from Levy like an ancient atomic bomb. I feel pain. A strange euphoria and more of the same blasted hunger. Sparks steps forward, but I grip her arm.
Wait,
I whisper. Her eyes are large, but she nods. As I watch, the two muscles on his back begin to writhe and squirm under the skin. They begin to travel up his back, and one of the lumps reaches his neck. With a jerk, Levy's head snaps to the side, and he crumbles to the ground. The sound of chewing fills the air.
Levy!
I can't help myself. I rush toward him.
Buddy!
One of the writhing lumps underneath the skin begins to move toward me along the acreage of Levy's torso. Levy jerks, and the skin along his shoulder rips apart. A streak of bright red leaps at me through the mist of blood. I barely catch it in my light beam, and I yelp and duck. Something flops on my back with a wet slap, and razor-sharp teeth bite into me. The pain rips a scream from my lips. Frantic, I try to reach for the monster. But it's already burrowing into my back, digging, squirming, and going deeper. Sparks roars and grips the end of the creature's tail and pulls. The pain makes my world go black for a moment, and I fall to my knees. Sparks keeps tugging, grunting from the exertion. The creature begins to lose its hold, and I feel it slip. I stare at Levy's body and force myself to breathe.
Just breathe.
I listen to the sound of chewing and ripping that is still coming from Levy's body. Then it stops. And the second lump in Levy's torso begins to move towards Sparks and me. Oh God, please no.
The other one!
I rasp, trying to stand.
Stay still!
Sparks snaps and yanks harder. The pain takes my breath away, but I force my lips to move.
Second creature! Incoming!
Sparks looks up.
What?
More flesh splits apart and a second snake-like creature leaps toward us. Sparks screams and dodges, pulling so hard that she yanks the other creature right off of me. The second snake misses Sparks' head and slaps against the far wall. I grip my gun and fire. I hit it dead on, sending clear liquid splattering onto the wall and floor.
Throw the other one,
I say. Sparks throws the other squirming creature, but it snags her arm with a crunching sound. Had it gotten bigger? She screams, flaps her arm, and yanks at the tail with her free hand.
Stay still,
I shout.
You stay still!
My bullets rip through the crimson creature, but it still hangs on. It writhes, trying to burrow deeper into her arm. Come on! The snake slaps onto the floor.
Kent, behind you!
Sparks shrieks. I jerk around and see the other snake is miraculously still alive. It's already leaping for me, mouth agape. I see rows of red teeth inside its mouth and down its throat. I fire again. The bullets slice through the creature, but it still latches onto my forearm as I shield my face. With a growl, I yank the weakened thing off and stomp on its head until I feel its skull give under me. Sparks stumbles toward me, gripping her bloody arm. In fact, I can feel blood seeping down my back and legs. If we were not careful, we could bleed to death. As quick as I can, I pull out bandages from my kit and tie up Sparks' bite. I yank the shirt section of my thermal suit off. You're going to have to wrap me up. Hurry! Sparks complies and ties a bandage around my torso tightly. Her eyes lance across my physique, and she clears her throat. Thank you, I say. Now let's go. Rocks fall somewhere in the distance, and a huge shadow streaks across the passage. I barely see it on the very edge of our cones of light.
Holy mother, what was that?
Sparks says. A gurgling sound makes me look down. Both of the small creatures are beginning to move again. How? How are they still alive? Run, I say. A surge of emotions comes from every direction. And in an instant, I know there are other creatures around us. I can't see them. I can't hear them. But I sense them, lurking, stalking, ready to strike. Sparks looks at the crumpled remains of Levy.
We have to go, now!
I pull her away from Levy. My pain mirrors hers. There's nothing we can do for Levy now. But still, it hurts. I pull Sparks behind me, forcing her to run. My arm device beeps, leading us through the maze of corridors. In minutes, the stairs come into view. We're almost there. I gasp. A hungry presence suddenly overwhelms my thoughts. And in another moment, I realize that the emotional presence I feel, the creature, is racing toward us. There is no time. I leap away and try to pull Sparks with me. Something barely brushes past me. Oof. Sparks' hand yanks out of my grasp, and I fall forward. She groans behind me. Heart pounding, I leap to my feet and grip my gun. Sparks is on her knees, rubbing her neck.
You okay?
I rasp.
Something bit me,
she says, and pulls her hand away from her neck to inspect it. I catch the dark glint of blood on her fingers. Let me see, I say.
I'm fine.
Let me see, I growl, and check her neck. A familiar puncture wound sits at the base of her neck, and, like Levy, not much blood seeps out. And, of course, I say, frustration and fear bubbling up.
What? What is it?
She asks.
Did you see anything? No. I just felt a breath of wind and then something jabbed me.
My mind races over the few facts we know. Lance, Levy. I think about how they both have had the same symptoms, and Levy reappeared with a strange puncture wound. He went crazy and gave birth to little snakes of hell. I suspect the same thing happened to Lance. Maybe Lance knew that he'd been infected before he went into cryosleep, hoping to stave off the deadly symptoms. But what had he been infected with? Eggs? The thought shoots coldness up my scalp. These elusive monsters are injecting us with their eggs. and where their incubators and feeding troughs for their young. And Sparks is next. I pull her to her feet and race to the stairs. I tell her my theory. "You think whatever happened to Levy is about to happen to me?" she says between breaths. It wasn't a question. I don't answer. She's silent for a moment. "Okay. Okay," she says, as if she's trying to think and stay calm. What are we going to do? "Get to Reacher as fast as possible. Abara will help us. The medical pods and my tools might help get the snakes out of you before they grow to full maturity."
"How do you know?"
"No, we'll have enough time," I say, finishing her question. "I don't. We're flying blind, but it's all we've got."
"It's all I've got,"
Sparks says, her voice cracking a little. For minute after minute, Sparks and I climb steps, rest, and then climb more steps. My legs burn, and my lungs stab my soul, but I keep moving. Above, I see the lights of the tower and living spaces beyond. Only a few more flights of stairs. We flop down one more time. My legs are cramping and my lungs burn so bad, I feel like I'm having a heart attack. Sparks does not say anything for a while, just gasping like me. But when she seems to catch her breath a little, she turns to me.
"I wasn't completely honest with you before."
"About what?"
"Why I came to space. My dad always wanted to go to space, but had a heart problem, so he was banned from exploratory missions. When he..."
Sparks stares at the ceiling and sighs.
"He made me promise to make a fresh start somewhere."
She laughs sarcastically and shakes her head.
"Wonderful how that turned out."
With a sudden gasp, Sparks tenses and arches her back, her eyes growing wide.
"Oh, God. I think I feel them in my back. They're moving."
"We're cutting this close," I say, and help Sparks up. I look past her down the flight of stairs. Far below, a shadow rushes toward us. Not a breath could be heard, not even a rustle. It's entirely and utterly silent. But it's coming. "Run!" I say, and yank her forward. She glances over her shoulder and her eyes grow wide. I glance behind me again in time to see more shadows following the first. They surge up the stairs like a disease. Not watching my feet, I trip and we both go down hard. I wince at the sound. I know the sound must have come from Sparks, and I hear her groan in pain. She's gripping her foot, which hangs at an odd angle. I glance at the creatures coming up the stairs. If I lift Sparks, the pain will be excruciating. But what choice do I have? "I am so sorry," I say, as gently as I can. I lift her and stumble up the last few steps. She screams with each step I take, but I ignore her pain and the pain it causes me. My whole body shakes with Sparks' agony. I emerge into the light of the bottom level of the tower. I rush through the blockade and stumble over a chair lying on its side. Sweat streams down my back and stings my wounds. "Come on, Brian. Come on." I reach the elevator that leads to the upper levels and the landing pad. The door hums open, and I gently lower Sparks to the floor and collapse beside her. I bolt upright. Something must have stepped over the chair like I had. The creatures are coming. The elevator door slowly closes. As the gap between the steel panels shrinks, I see a dark red blur emerge from further along the hall. Then the door clangs shut. Boom! Something slams the other side of the door, and the metal instantly dents inward. I yell and stumble against the back wall. The elevator begins to hum up. I gasp and cry. The moment it takes to reach the landing level feels like hours.
"Abara, come in. It's Kent,"
I say into my radio. Now that I have signal, I have to warn Abara and Yin. But static fills my ears. The elevator jerks to a stop. Through my pain and exhaustion, I manage to lift Sparks and shuffle to the end of the hall. We don't have time to don our suits. Any minute now, the snakes inside Sparks could be born. I pause. Through the windows, I see that night had come. Darkness fills the glass panels like ink. A storm flashes and booms in the sky. It must be what's blocking my radio signal. I get moving again. I know the silent monsters below could find a way up here any minute. I glance at the dead bodies all over the hall. "Hold your breath," I rasp to Sparks. She nods through tears, and I punch the airlock. Cold rain pelts us, and the wind yanks at my legs. As expected, only one scout remains on the pad. I try to reach my arm device to open the scout's doors while holding Sparks, but I can't. I fall with her on top of me. She screams. Stars fill my vision, and I struggle to stay conscious. My finger finds the door button for the scout, and I jab it. The scout's door lowers, and I lay there, exhausted. I realize that I'm breathing, even though I know there's not enough oxygen to sustain me. A part of me wonders if it would be all right just to rest, to give up, to close my eyes. My head begins to swim. I stand, stagger, and then lift Sparks. She screams again, but I force my leaden legs forward.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Star Splitter. See you next time.